Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Tom Page and Dustin Arbuckle of the band Haymakers joins me for this edition of Americana Music Profiles as we talk about their brand of Americana music, the origins of the band, and their new album, Live at Art Church. I am speaking today with Tom and Dustin from the Haymakers. Welcome, guys.
Hey, good morning, listener. Good morning.
Thanks for taking the time out of your schedules to chat with us. Tell me a little bit about the origins of your band. How long have you guys been together?
Well, Tom and I started playing together around 2005, had known each other for a few years before that because we worked together on a couple recording projects with my old band, and had an opportunity to put together a band to do kind of a country music gig at a local festival we have here in Wichita back in the summer of 2005, and we did that, and that band only lasted about one gig, but Tom and I, felt like we had some good chemistry and enjoyed playing together, so we started working as a duo around kind of the Wichita area mostly, but did a small amount of touring with that lineup. And then did that till about 2011.
And then I hit a point where Filler, when Dustin was on the road with his other deal, and whenever he would be back in town, we'd crank up the duet.
So you guys had multiple configurations of your music going on at the same time, it sounds like.
Yes, and at that point I had a thing called Tom Page Trio, and Dustin was in a band called Moreland and Arbuckle.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And traveling a lot, and so yeah. And even today we do that. It is, I don't know how else to put it, but to keep the hustle up, and when you're based in a place like Wichita, you got to have irons in the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it pretty spread out? Do you guys have to move around quite a bit to get to gigs?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, there's only so much we can do here in town.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're about 650,000 in the metropolis here.
Okay.
And so it's not really huge. And the state has about 2.7 million people in it.
Right.
So really, we're kind of used to going whatever. You got to go somewhere to get somewhere.
Right.
There's always going to be driving involved. So yeah, we're pretty used to that.
Yeah. And so the Haymakers came about when you guys got back together then.
Well, so yeah, after we'd done the duo thing for a few years, we kind of hit the point where we felt like it was getting a little bit stale. We weren't growing with it as much as we wanted to. And we hit a point where we wanted to try and do something different to it, to give ourselves the ability to do some more things and explore some more musical territory and, allow, each of us to be able to play up some musical strengths that we have a little bit more. And so we called a couple of friends of ours, a fellow named Mark Foley, who's a great upright bass player here in town, who's the professor of bass at Wichita State.
Oh, cool.
Principal bassist of the Wichita Symphony. And another good friend named Peter Barham. He is actually Dr. Mark Foley, Doctor of Bassology.
Wow. what a title. And, that's cool.
I think that's the title I give him. I think it's Doctor of Bass Performance or something. I forget exactly what it is, but I just say Doctor of Bassology.
Right, yeah.
and then our friend Ted Farhaw, who's been a long time kind of local bluegrass scene guy on mandolin, and, you know, always a fun dude to have in any jam equation, and that's how Haymakers got started.
I feel like even we got to play some trio shows with Ted.
And yeah, we figured
did. That it would work. We got the chop on things first, and then we're able to move into the bass, and then, you know, gradually made up songs that fit the unit, and, you know, learned other material that fit the unit and stretched out, and, you know, slowly grew the thing.
You guys have got some fairly traditional bluegrass, if we'll say that, instruments, and then you throw this harmonica in the mix, and it really... gives it a very cool, unique flavor. Was the sound, did you guys set out with a particular sound or vibe in mind, or is this just what you guys brought to the table and what showed up?
A little both, I'd say. I mean, obviously Dustin is a very talented harmonica player, and, you know, that was obvious then as well. And I come from a campfire oral tradition sort of folk music background, and a lot of cowboy music and that kind of business out here in the plains, and also a flat pick guitar background. And so part of the secret of flat pick guitar is that you don't really hear it much with banjos. You don't really hear it much. Like, if you think about your traditional bluegrass lineup, the guitar is basically mostly rhythm most of the time. And maybe they get one feature set or something. So I had learned from Doc Watson and Norman Blake and those types of players that basically if you're going to focus or you're going to highlight your flat pick guitar, you can't be competing with these other loud instruments. And so that's partly how we figured out the formula of mandolin, bass, guitar, and harmonica gives everybody a lot of sonic room.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we like a lot of different roots music or folk music or whatever you want to call it. So I think we wanted a lineup that didn't necessarily tie us to being what you might think of as a bluegrass band. We get labeled that a lot, but really, I mean, we just think of ourselves as a string band. It's folk music. There's a lot of stripes of that in what we do. And so I think that's also part of the beauty of the lineup that we have, is that it's relatively flexible to be able to do a lot of different things and kind of fit into a lot of different genres in a way that I think sounds relatively authentic, but also is sort of our own vibe.
Oh, absolutely. Another part of the growing up in the campfire culture, as it were, is that I would never have called us a bluegrass band because the purists would have my rear for saying it.
Right.
You know,
that right.
It's like, well, there's a strict formula that was created by this fellow in the 1930s, and if you're not following that, then it's not bluegrass.
Right, yeah.
From the get, it would be better not to go down that road.
Yeah.
You know, let's just make it our sound. And, again, too, I think the places we found ourselves jamming early on at parties and at friends' houses and stuff like that, I think it also lent itself to the slightly more, I like to think we have a little more subdued but also warm sound.
Well, if you would
I think that's a really good way to put it.
Hang around the more newer iteration of the IBMA, you guys would fit right into the fringe bluegrass definition. I mean, it's obviously not traditional, but
it has moved along.
It has. There's a new feel, if you want to call it that, of execution of bluegrass music, or that falls under the term bluegrass music, that you guys fit into that new expression.
Well, and I think is the fact that, you know, Tom definitely came up in the culture of stuff that was probably a little more oriented toward, you know, the flat pick guitar and the more kind of folky, you know, country bluegrassy sort of stuff. Although, I mean, he also played in a lot of rock bands and things like that. But I came up, as much as I love bluegrass and country music and, you know, all these different folk music styles, and time has gone on, I've definitely grown more into those styles. And a lot of that has come through playing with Tom. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's been great. But I came up through the blues scene. I grew up, you know, playing that. And that's the scene that I've toured on the most in my life. Like, you know, we talked about my former band, Moreland and Arbuckle. We toured very heavily in the kind of like blues and roots rock scene for almost 15 years. And so that's kind of the deepest part of my musical background. And so I think that's a thing too, is it would, especially in our earlier days, would have been somewhat fraudulent for me to try to, you know, fill myself as something more like as a bluegrass guy or a country guy, as much as a big part of the reason that I wanted to do this band was because I wanted to explore those forms mm-hmm. of music more.
That's cool.
But again, that's just all played into the whole thing. It's like, it's just folk music. It's just a variety of different stripes of American folk and roots music in this band. Like, certainly too, you know, when we started, when you're getting me onto the wavelength here, that's some that, one of the things that brought us together was an interest in country blues and mm-hmm. and yeah, the origins of what are considered modern music, right? And so,
sure,
if you go back in time, basically the only thing in a lot of cases separating bluegrass music or mountain music from what was considered to be blues music was basically race mix. You know, mm-hmm. segregation was the only thing that would help you tell them apart.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing like the... try to think with the Harry Smith Anthology, famous Library of Congress record, mm-hmm. American Exotica, was reputedly put out to help dispel these notions, because when you listen to the thing, you can't really tell who's who.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certainly
a lot of folk
performers, right?
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview. Tell me a little bit about your original material. How do you guys get together on that? Who's your songwriter? How do those things evolve for you?
We're trying to do it all together.
Yeah, it's a pretty collaborative effort. Although I would say that especially with the original songs on this record, Tom has been the primary songwriter on most of the original songs on this album, and really probably just more recently, most of the songs have been kind of flowing through him, and then I sort of do what I can to contribute, maybe some extra storyboarding, as we like to call it, or extra lyrical content.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, definitely, the band, Tom's been the primary songwriter.
I'd say I'm a little more prolific on the contest than some of the other guys in the band, but what Dustin's saying is pretty accurate. I mean, I guess I look at it as phases, and so, you know, if you have the song in its kind of kernel or its inceptive phase, that's great, but it still needs to be developed for the band. And mm-hmm. often during that process, you know, you're being given arrangement ideas and production ideas and sometimes really song structure ideas, and those deserve some credit. And sure. And I think both of us have also approached the whole musical business mostly as a collaborative effort. And so, you know, if you look at our stuff, we often have other names on it, and it's like, well, just, you know, I kind of look at it like the Lennon-McCartney sort of phenomena, where it's like, well, hey, that was a good turn of phrase, or, you know, that we needed a chord for the bridge, and then mm-hmm. you came up with it, so there's your 10%.
Right.
On this record, we also have really heavily featured our friend Ryan Taylor from Texas, and I'm not sure exactly how it worked out that way, but, you know, we recorded the thing live, and we picked out the strongest material, and it turned out that three of his songs were the strongest, you know, fit the category of strong material, and so so we've got a nice representation of Ryan as well. And so I guess to say we like writing songs, and we certainly enjoy our own material. On the other hand, we're very open to stuff that fits the band and fits our feeling.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah, and it helps that we have some friends who are great songwriters who've been willing to either directly or indirectly contribute songs to the cause over the years. Ryan, in particular, is a guy I've been friends with for about 15 years now or more, and is a great songwriter who, you know, has had, you know, movies and or has had songs in like Academy Award nominated movies and things like that, but has been sending me tunes
for forever. We, you know, recorded, I've recorded several of his songs over the years in multiple different projects that I'm in. And so, you know, we're lucky to have that. It's nice to, you know, even if you're not recording a song that's yours, you're still giving people something new, and you're putting a friend's material out there mm-hmm. into the world. And, you know, we have another tune on the record that was by another old friend that Tom used to play with me, Steve Barnes, a song called Don't Wait, that's, you know, it wasn't necessarily given to us so much, but one that, you know, Steve, we took and Tom had played together. And yeah, Steve and Tom had played together, and Steve just kind of stopped playing it and was happy to have us play it too. So.
That's cool.
Yeah, and, you know, something that as the band has developed, we've done a lot of what we call on-the-job training over the years.
Right.
And that song lent itself to that and kind of evolved very well with the band, and I think that's part of how we kind of gauged the strength of different, you know, different directions and material that you could go
mm-hmm.
as well. I mean, if it's a thing where everybody's excited and every time we play it, it's gaining in dimension, then great. And sometimes you just know right away that it's like, well, that's a beautiful song, but, you know, for somebody else.
You mentioned a few minutes ago the new record, which is obviously one of the reasons we wanted to get together today. It's live at Art Church. I love the story about what you guys did to bring this about, going into this old church and capturing this live performance. Tell me about this record.
Well, it's kind of an interesting thing because we sort of discovered our church by accident.
We had a rain out. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah, we've got a pretty cool group of friends, you know, that we've come to work with over the years in this area of Southwest Iowa. And have developed kind of a pretty loyal little fan base in that area. And we had been booked a couple of summers ago to play a summer concert series gig in Malvern, Iowa. And our church was the rain location. And ended up having to move in there. And boy, the room was just magical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has an amazing vibe. The owner of the building is a fellow named Zach Jones, who's a great visual artist, great painter, and he had
painted an album for us, by the way.
He did the cover of the album.
Oh, cool.
For
yeah,
us,
that's a neat picture.
But inside the church, he's painted, and you can sort of see this on the back cover, and like around the tops of the walls and across the entire ceiling, just this giant sky scene mural. Which really contributes to the vibe of the room, but you know, just gives it this almost sort of earthy psychedelic feel.
It harkens to me the old folk coffee house.
Mm, yeah.
Scene. Uh-huh. And that's really, I got that right from the moment we walked in there, where it's like there were people bustling around and, you know, breaking out the folding chairs and heating up a pot of coffee and saying, "Hey, this is fine. We're, you know, we're going to sing away the rain." And I got that vibe right away, and it certainly was a turn on.
So after we had our kind of accidental show there, we decided that we really wanted to try to come back and do a show there on purpose.
It took a while, but it did happen.
It did. And through the process of setting that up, we found out that there was this other local, locally based recording engineer, a guy named Kent Hertz, who had worked in Nashville and L.A. and has been a part of engineering some pretty big pop records, and currently is, you know, employed by the Steve Miller Band as their, like, live sound guy and recording engineer. And, you know, that found out that we could work with him to do a live recording, you know, audio and video recording of the show. And we were like, well, okay, I mean, we know it's a beautiful sounding room. Let's take this opportunity. And if we end up getting, you know, a couple songs that we can put on, supplement a later studio record with, great. Or if we get enough to make an EP or a full record, great.
Right. And I think at the time, too, we were desperate for video. You know, really needed video material. And so we're thinking, you know, this, at the least, we could fill that gap a little.
Yeah, sure. Wow.
And so it all just came together. We ended up, you know, we should probably come back to the lineup of the band a little bit, because we talked earlier about Mark and Ted, who we started the band with, but over the years, the lineup has evolved because of various availability issues. Obviously, we want to keep the band working. And so there were situations where, you know, Mark, because of his obligations with the university and the studio and the symphony, was not able to go on the road with us. And so we started doing a fair amount of gigs with another guy here in town named Caleb Drummond, who is a really talented,
educated bass player. It's been a wonderful gift for us to have academic bass players who not only satisfy the needs of the band, but have educated us a great deal on music theory.
Mm, that's cool.
Yeah. And Ted also has a day job here in town running a construction company, and so he's not able to go on the road very much, as he was having to, you know, occasionally miss gigs for other obligations. He suggested that we bring in our friend Dennis Harden to cover some gigs on mandolin, and that ended up working out great. And over the years, kind of the full lineup of the band, when we play here locally, became a five-piece with Ted playing regular mandolin and Dennis playing octave mandolin, and then Mark or Caleb on bass.
Yeah.
And then Tom.
You know, we don't do a lot of double bass shows, and maybe we can do that. We've only had a couple occasions where we get to do that. But basically, the way we've looked at it is, like, we even describe it sometimes as a league of players that basically, like Dustin was saying, we want to keep working. We're not in maybe perhaps the deepest pool of musicians, but we've been lucky to get with some of the right ones. And
yeah.
So, basically, if there's a bass sub here and there, we've never had any complaints, and we just keep on putting it out there.
That's awesome. And the album is out when?
You know, as things have, the album came out May 21st.
Okay, so it's just out.
So I guess last Friday?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, last Friday. And so, coming back to that, like, as things evolved, the band, if we started touring more over the last couple of years, kind of the main touring lineup became myself, Tom, Dennis, and Caleb, and that's the lineup that you have on the album.
Yeah, that's
right.
Cool.
We often call it the traveling haymakers. The traveling haymakers.
Yeah, there you go.
But really, depending on where you're at any time, it could be a four or five piece
lineup.
And I think we do a pretty good job of keeping a consistent sound even with that, just a little bit maybe bigger and grander when we have more guys.
Yeah. Well, I love what you did with it. It's really cool, and the sound is really cool. Again, the album is live at Art Church. The band is Haymakers. If folks want to reach out and maybe try to figure out how they could catch you live or get a copy of the record, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, they can find us on www.haymakers.com. Would be one, I guess.
Haymakers.
Sorry, it's haymakersict.com. So let me just say that again for you, Greg. So www.haymakersict.com is our website. And also we have the Facebook and Instagram sites under the same name, Haymakers ICT. And ICT is the airport code for Wichita.
Okay. All right. I was going to ask you that. Cool. And
it always seems to confuse people a little bit.
Yeah. And Facebook?
We thought we were really hip, apparently, on that. Yes. Facebook is also Haymakers ICT, and Instagram, same handle. I think, emulating the rappers a little bit. We have Haymakers 316 and Haymakers ICT, and it turns out neither of those is really meaningful to people outside of Wichita. Go figure.
Well, thanks, guys. This has been really cool. I've enjoyed talking to you, and I wish you great success with the record. I think people will really enjoy listening to it when they get a hold of a copy of it.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.